Welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Dennis Fithian, Matt the Hitman Mizler, and you know what time it is. Boom, 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 boom. It's boom, boom time. That's right. It's Matty Leach's turn. What's up, Matty Leach? How you doing, man?
Oh, I am great. J-Mo, feeling good. Still feeling good about that basketball win here the other night. And then, you know, my second favorite little Michigan all-time leading running back is coming back to town. But as you mentioned at the end of that segment, right here before we went to break, one of you still has an NFL record, and that's you, J-Mo. Don't you forget that. But no, obviously excited about that big news of Mike Hart joining the staff and coming back to good old Ann Arbor.
What do you think? He's going to be able to make some changes in any way? What do you expect from him?
Well, to me, as I mentioned, as we were talking about the Harbaugh contract and that getting finalized, the new staff, because you knew after a 2-4 season, there were going to be a lot of shakeups in the staff, a lot of moving pieces. So for the first real name to become official, we've heard of some NFL guys maybe heading this way, but you know, the first one to kind of come out and be official, new addition to the staff, I don't think you could have gotten a better hire. Not only he's got all kinds of credit, obviously, from his playing days here at Michigan, all-time leading rusher, Big Ten champion in 2004, his freshman year, but at what he's done on the coaching trail ever since he's left. I believe started at Eastern, but Eastern, Western, and then at Indiana, he has done an
Syracuse.
Oh, excuse me. My bad. You know those Morrises, they get upset when you leave Cuse out of the
– Mike is from Syracuse, the Syracuse area.
Oh, I know it. I know, and I know he's from up there as well. So, what he's done the past few years, the impact that he's had at Indiana, as you read more about it, because obviously he's done a tremendous job as a coach with the running back groups, producing NFL running back after NFL running back. But you hear what he does, excuse me, on the recruiting trail, just the overall presence that he has, you know, kind of how he was regarded and respected in that Indiana locker room and amongst that coaching staff. Pretty exciting stuff. And so the fact that he, you know, like I said, he is a Big Ten champion. He knows a lot of those Michigan ways, knows that, hey, we got to change traditions and we've got to be keeping up with the times all the time. That's what they had to do at Indiana, because all their traditions, they had nothing but bad traditions, and they needed to get out of those and get acclimated with the time. And he was a big part of getting that program to this point. So there's going to be a lot more pieces that we need to fill out on the staff as we're moving forward. But for so many reasons, the incredible job he does coaching the position he's coming in to coach, the recruiting, the confidence boost that I'm sure it must give to all the players who are in that room, saying that, hey, we've got one of the all-time greats from the school, one of the best coaches around the country coming in to coach us. So for the first move, their first official move for the Harbaugh coaching staff, I think it was about as good as it can be.
Who's feeling good if you're a running back in that room? I'm just saying this. Is it Blake Corum or is it Zach Charbonnet? What's Mike? I mean, I'm just asking from that standpoint, being the little back and all.
Of course, of course you throw the little guy out there first. Oh, Blake Corum, freshman, had a good season. Who does that sound like? The coach that's coming back to coach him. So often, Jamie, with new coaches, it's a fresh start for everybody. So who's the most excited in that room? I think each and every one of them, because they're all going to have an opportunity to start and not just play like they did last season. I would imagine that we will go back towards a little bit more of a dominant back set, and then, you know, kind of feed off of that would be my guess. I don't know, but that's typically what they've done at Indiana, because they've had a cowbell back, or however you want to put it, somebody who could carry the load as that number one running back. There's a lot of guys that we think can. I was a big fan of both those guys you mentioned. Also, Hassan Haskins was a guy that I thought could have done it this year, and I think could easily be the guy to do it next year if that's what we decided to do. But that's what I expect. So every single running back in that room should be excited for so many reasons. One, you are going to, I think, I mean, you can make an argument for any of those guys to be the starter, depending on who's playing the best at the given time. But you now have an incredible coach coming back to coach you. And so even if you're not the number one guy, or even if you're not the number two guy, because there's a lot of talent in that room, you're still going to be coached by an incredible running backs coach who's going to make you better. And a lot of people ask, like, oh, Jalen Hurst, why did you stay at Alabama the year after when you could have transferred? Because he said, I think this was the place that I developed the most. Our quarterback coach, our program here, I thought that that was the best chance for me to develop as a player. And then he did end up transferring to Oklahoma and had a tremendous season over there. So even if you aren't the number one or number two guy, say, coming out of spring or, you know, even next fall, don't be discouraged, because you've got obviously an incredible coach who's going to coach you the right way and be able to get you good enough to be a starting running back, to play at the next level, all those things. So everyone in that room should be excited.
Yeah, what do you think it says about Jim Harbaugh? I think it's a good sign here. Now, I'm not going to make too much of all this, like, you know, but you know, there could have been, like, I'm not hiring Mike Hart, you know, I hold a grudge, you know, from that the stuff where they were firing back and forth when he was at Stanford. That could be one thing. There's also a thing, like, you know, he is a beloved player. I know Jim is, but Mike Hart is a beloved player. I mean, he is a favorite with Michigan fans. A lot of people predicted when he was done playing that, you know, you could see him one day as the head coach at Michigan. Mm-hmm. My head coaches be like, I don't want to bring in somebody. Look how much we're talking about a running back coach. If that was Mike Brown or Mike Smith, we'd be like, hey, let's see what the guy can do. Let's go ahead and see how he divvies up the carries. But we're talking about Michigan Mike Hart, the all-time leading rusher. You know, that's a good sign for what do you guys think?
But here's the thing, Dennis. I hear what you're saying, but it is Mike Hart, he's the all-time leading rusher, but he's got street cred too. If it would have been Mike Hart, fresh off the street, his first job, yeah, we would have said, yeah, let's give him some time. Now this guy comes back. He's gone through the progressions. He's been at different universities. He's cut his teeth, as they say. So he's. I'm not gonna say he's long in the tooth. I'm saying he's right for this position. That's what I'm saying. He's right. He's in his 30s. He's hungry. Look, Mike Hart wants to be a head coach someday. If it's not here, it's going to be somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. But that said, this stop here could be an important stop. What he does here will make him the head coach that he will become.
No doubt about it, Jamie. And getting back to just Dennis's original question of what does it say about Coach Harbaugh? What does it say about his attitude for the staff? It shows that he's putting everything else, egos, you know, old sayings, mantras, all that stuff, he's putting it all by the wayside and doing what he can to put the team in the best position possible. Because hiring, you know, Mike Hart, you're right, that's another all-time great Michigan player. That is another big name where we're talking about him, but I don't think it's that. But what I would hear about Coach Schembechler is he did always want coaches that would challenge him, that would be not just kind of fall in line and go with the way that the tide's going, but somebody that is going to be that young up and coming guy, the guy that is going to challenge you. So I think that he's showing that I'm not afraid to take on other talented coaches that are going to disagree with me. And I think all of the great coaches have to have that mentality, because your team is as good as your staff. You need to have great coaches at every position. So I think it's a great sign that Coach Harbaugh went out to go ahead and you know, bring him on as the running back coach.
And you bring up a good subject, and I mean, there's other things I want to talk to you about, Matt. But just look,
bring it on.
And I'm going to say this, and I want your opinion too, Dennis. Bo, Woody, all of those coaches, they were great in their own. They were great in their era and everything like that. Coaches nowadays, no, they don't. They don't. They are insecure now. And I'm talking about coaches everywhere in general in this day and time. They don't want anybody that matches them. That somebody says, he could be head coach someday. You know what I'm saying? They don't. They're insecure. Look, I know this, and they know that. I mean, hey, Nick Saban's insecure. And look at how many championships. He's secure with himself, and he brings coaches in. But You remember, I'm the big dog around here, and I'm a chew your when I have to. And that's what he does. But there is insecure coaches, and you're right. This is going to be a night litmus test to see what happens. Because I don't even want to bring it up, but go ahead, Dennis.
Well, Mike Hart's got this big personality, so that is one thing. Like, people are going to say, they're going to ask him, Jim Harbaugh, when he does get up there, it's not going to be like, hey, what do you think of the running backs coach? What does he bring to the table? It's going to be like, hey, Mike Hart, this is pretty awesome that Mike Hart's back. I just go back to, not after the Wisconsin game, but after the Minnesota game, I was watching Juwan Howard in his news conference after the game, and at one point it came down to a staff, and he was listing each one of them, but he said, like, and he just put it really black and white. He said, he's like, I want my staff to disagree with me. He's like, we've got an open door. We've got a lot of things going on where there's a lot of ideas, and sometimes it gets a little heated. The way I'm paraphrasing what he said, but man, I listened to it. I'm like, man, Juwan has got it. Like, what he's saying makes, I would love to work for this guy. I would love to run through a wall for this guy, man. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great to be on a staff where your input, and if you disagreed with something, you could feel free to say, hey, coach, I think you're really doing this wrong. And it really, you know, the way it came off is like, man, Juwan, that's something where how wherever he got that from in the NBA, open door, two-way, all these things. And he said, that's what our staff's about, looking for ideas this way.
It's something like so many things that we talk about on the show is easier said than done. Of course, you should always invite competition and other ideas and, oh, that other next up-and-coming coach. Yes, of course you should. But in reality, like Jamie said, guys' egos, they're worried about that guy taking their job. It makes their life more difficult. If you're a coach and you want something done a certain way and you've got somebody who's kind of bucking your system, it can make things more difficult. So the coaches that you guys both brought up, Nick Saban and Juwan Howard, he's obviously not even close to Nick Saban's realm just yet. But those are guys that are tremendous leaders up top. And guess what? The confidence that they have, the reason why they can allow it is because they are tremendous leaders and tremendous coaches themselves. And if you are that way, Coach Harbaugh shouldn't be nervous about bringing a guy like Mike Hart in if he continues to coach at a high level himself. And that's part of the pressure you put on yourself by bringing in those guys and going with the basketball team, you know, bringing in Phil Martelli, who's been a head coach for 100 years and is a legend in Philly. But it's just, it's easier said than done, J-Mo. And it's something that I think it's, you know, to me, this is, like you mentioned, it's a good litmus test. It's a good seed because Mike is a big personality. And you and I both are fortunate enough to know that running back coach well enough that he's going to come in and he's going to speak his mind. And also what he's done has been successful. So he's going to bring in what he's done and bring in his views. And it's going to be a bit of some new ideas, some fresh thinking coming into that building. So I agree with you that this is a good litmus test. I think it's a good sign because theoretically every coaching staff should be that way. Most of them aren't these days, Jamie, because, hey, we have egos, this, that, whatever the case may be. But I do think this was a good sign for the hiring because it is another Michigan guy. It is another big personality. And so I think that it's what it's going to take. And he's also a young guy. So I don't think he's a risk because he has a pretty proven track record. But, you know, maybe that's what it takes is some risks on some young up and coming guys that are willing to put their neck out there a little bit or do some things like that. So I think for the first hire, it's about as good as it possibly can be. And now I'm excited to see how the rest of the staff falls into place.
You know, I love the hire. I just, I like you said, you brought in a young man who's got a big personality, who has learned from his journey. And now his journey brought him back to Ann Arbor, and we'll see how that mix. Now, on Juwan Howard's been there. He's been to the national championship. He was the first $100 million man in the NBA. He won NBA championships as a player and as a coach on the Heat. So he's been there. He doesn't have an ego because he's been there. He's been to the top of the mountain. And anybody who wants to talk basketball, he can match it, but he'll listen because, look, we know, we all know this is his first coaching gig, but he's willing to listen to Phil Martelli. He's willing to listen to Saddy Washington. He's willing to listen to these guys because they're college coaches. That's been where they've been there, especially Phil Martelli. He's been in the, he's been on those grounds. Why not? He is a wealth of knowledge. I would soak him dry and take as much as I can. And that's what Juwan, I think that's what Juwan's doing. I think a lot of people have said they didn't play defense last, like they used to when Beilein was here. Remember that? I'm like, well, Beilein started playing defense, you know, 2 years before he retired.
About 7 years into that bad boy.
Exactly. So, but Juwan, he said, we're going to play defense. So guess what? They're playing defense and they're playing it well. I'm just saying it's different with Juwan because he's a special coach. Nowadays, coaches have egos. They want to, hey, I'm hiring you. You do what I say. Now, I don't want to hear that talk. You're right about Bo Schembechler. He had guys that would challenge him. And I remember we were talking about footsteps going to the running a play. And I did the footsteps Coach Burton taught me. And Bo was looking at the film and he's cussing me out, said, that's not the steps. And then Coach Burton stepped up and said, Bo, that is the damn steps. And they got into each other and they were like pushing. I'm like, wow, okay, all right. Well, coach has got my back. So I saw my coach defending me against the head coach. So that was kind of cool. But we ended up doing Bo steps anyway. So I'm just letting you know.
We know who always ultimately ends up winning that argument. But yeah, Jamie, it's got to be because it's not anything personal. And that's what you've got to, that's what it ultimately people have got. It's not personal. It's all about doing what's best for the team. Your coach doing what's best for you. You know, Burton stepping up to the big man, Bo. And there were a lot of times that happened. So, you know, kind of like when we see players and coaches get into it on the sideline, or you see different coaches, like everyone always tries to make it into a big deal. You need to have that intense competitiveness. These are great minds where, again, you know, you were taught something a different way. Everybody learns a little bit different. All you talk about Mike Hart on his journey coming back. We've all had different journeys where we learn different things along the way. Coach Howard has so many things that give him a unique perspective, playing, being a top tier recruit, playing in a national championship in college, playing in two of them, playing in the NBA, signing. People forget all the time that he was the first $100 million contract in NBA history. People forget that one all the time. I remember when I see the cars parked outside Chrysler when I'm coming in there. Dang. But, you know, those guys have so many. And so now this coaching staff, you know, Mike brings in a unique perspective, being a Big Ten champ, being the all-time leading rusher. And then also, you know, he's learned a lot with Tom Allen down at Indiana. And, you know, it's not just Mike that was a good coach down there. They've got a lot of good coaches, and you've got to give Coach Allen his credit. People will have them on their radar big time coming into next season, where Indiana will be, my guess is, number two coming in that Big Ten East, above Michigan, above Penn State, above a lot of the teams that you're used to seeing up there. But
real quick, I need to do this real quick because before we leave, because the Lions just hired a new general manager. He's from the Rams. He was their director of college scouting. His name is Brad Holmes. You like or you don't like?
Big fan. I am a big fan of this hire. To me, it's a lot like the Pistons Troy Weaver hire, where it's a guy that is behind the scenes and doing a lot of things, putting that organization in the incredible spot that it is, where you go down just the players that he's been able to draft, and Aaron Donald and Goff and Gurley and all the different players. You know, I talk all the time, and not all, you know, some of those guys are number one overall draft picks, but a lot of guys that he picked, it's all about hitting with your opportunity. And I've talked a lot about that with the NBA draft, but it's the same with the NFL, making the most out of that number seven pick, making the most out of, you know, every opportunity that you have. So I think he's a guy to do that, which the Lions, you know, the draft, they've had a few, a few good moments here and there are things that you would say were it's a better draft pick than not. But the draft has been something that's always been an Achilles heel of the Lions. And I look just within our own division, a team that is, you know, the perennial, you know, organization or shows you how an organization should be run, that Green Bay Packers, most of their lineup each and every year is made by their own draft picks. They draft well, they develop well within their organization. So Brad Holmes is a guy that I think can bring some of that to the Lions organization. So for me, I give it 2 thumbs up. I thought it was a great hire.
Dennis, you like it?
Yeah, initially here I do. But I think the one thing he's undertaking the biggest challenge as an executive in pro sports history. And that is something that you should remember. Like, this is an organization that, you know, has been at the bottom, and that there's a reason that they've been down there. They have had a culture. They kept talking about culture and how they're looking to establish a different culture and everything else. But a part of this culture has been, of course, the losing, but it's just been favoritism. It's been homerism. It's been cronyism. And there's a part about this. This guy really doesn't have any, certainly doesn't have any experience being a GM. Their owner's new. She's never been an owner before. She's only been on the job for a couple months. The president was a former accountant. He's green. And Spielman's in a role where he's never been. So they got a bunch of people here. The head coaching hire is going to be huge. You're going to have to think that he's going to take somebody and tab somebody that has some experience. And I'll just say, like, he better not hire Daryl Bevel. Daryl Bevel, I would say that would be – he could get on my wrong side really quick if he hired Bevel. But I hope he sets the tone. I've never heard him talk before, and it's not that important to win any press conference or news conference or anything else. But, you know, his predecessor came out there and was adamant about character and that they were going to have a zero-tolerance policy. And then a month into his regime, he's over there signing two guys at the bottom of the roster that had rap sheets and gun charges and weapons charges. And you're like, wait a second. I thought this was a zero tolerance policy. Got off on the wrong foot right off the bat. I hope he's more of an open book. Like, this isn't the CIA. Let's go out there. You know, give the people a little bit something here. You don't have to tell everybody what you're drafting, but do a better job than Bob Quinn did there. And, you know, he'll be all right and go to work. You know, I'm excited to see what he can do. I like when, it's always the two-way street here. You say, well, the guy doesn't have any experience, but if you can hire that guy that's on an upward trajectory and that you can get somebody young that knows what they're doing. I liked somebody, you know, Jamie, you might not, Matt, because old school guy, Wilbert Montgomery, who was a running back for the Eagles. Yep. He said he was a young
Ozzie Newsome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. You know, that's a great endorsement. I'm behind him 100%. I'm waiting to see what kind of tone that he sets when I hear him talk and what his ideas are.
Yeah. I mean, he's the right guy. I think he's the right guy myself.
No Bevel.
His background.
No Bevel. No Daryl Bevel.
Robert Saleh.
Saleh or bust is what it seems like right now in Detroit. But Dennis, you bring up a good point. I think this is arguably the best guy you could have gotten for the job, or certainly up there for one of the best hires that you could have made. But, oh, man, what an uphill battle that he has now. It's coming over to be the GM of the Detroit Lions with a new owner, with so many new front office faces, with a head coach that, you know, at least he gets to pick the head coach where, you know, sometimes you don't have that option coming in as a new GM. But this is a team, you talked about, again, the culture that's been around this team where, you know, you talk to most Lions fans, they just expect the worst to go wrong. It's just pessimism at every turn. So he's got a big job ahead of him. You know, a young guy who comes in with, you know, without any experience and just with that, drive to really get things done. I think that he's as good a person that we could have gotten, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to save our good old Detroit Lions, because we need a lot of help to save us.
We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Maddie, thanks. We'll catch up with you. We're still going to talk basketball. We need to go to a break. We come back. Charles Ramsey on the other side. Coach Charles Ramsey. You're listening to the M Zone.